We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Roth IRA.
When it comes to money, management is the key. We need to make sure that we have
stock options. I know all this.
Roth IRA.
Fixed income.
I just want my money to work for me.
What you need is a 12% annual return from stocks. I'm not even sure that's possible. I mean, what stock really has 12% income?
I don't really think this is a big...
It is a big deal. You gotta know where your money is going.
I'll just get another credit card. There are lots that come in the mail.
No!
What we need is financial peace!
Welcome to the afternoon worship service here at Redemption Church. Greetings from Plano, Texas. Today we're kicking off a new sermon series called Financial Peace. At the start of this, the very tip top, I want to promise you that we're not after your money today. That's not the point of this sermon. We don't have a surprise offering at the end of this sermon. We don't have, oh, surprise everyone, we've got a building fund that we need to tell you about. No, none of that's going to happen at the end of this sermon. We aren't seeking a financial peace, P-I-E-C-E, but we're encouraging you to experience financial peace. Peace, P-E-A-C-E, a peace that comes from who?
God.
A peace that comes from God. And when we follow God's plan, we walk in that kind of peace. Right. Do we understand that peace is important?
Yeah.
Do we really get that? We are often looking throughout the world for success, for power, for material gain. We get those little ads on the internet that go, oh, click here. You can, in five hours, you can earn like $1,000. And you're like, oh, let's go click on that. We're always seeking all these things. But what we're really needing is peace.
Yeah.
And people go down a whole lot of rabbit holes. They go all over this world looking for something to fill this void. But really, they've got a Jesus-shaped hole in their heart. They've got a need for peace. That's what we need today. But we rarely dream of peace. We rarely put that on our list. We rarely have a 5-year plan and say, you know what, in 5 years, I want to be really peaceful. No one puts that on their 5-year plan. We spend time dreaming of luxury cars. We salivate at the latest smartphone, right? And the dream home. Or the vacation. And our mind is swirling over all things. But you know what we really need? What we really need is peace. I want to tell you today that peace is priceless. You can't put a dollar amount on your peace. In fact, you ought to make some business decisions. You ought to make some life decisions. You ought to make some relationship decisions based on the peace that comes from God. Am I going to be more peaceful or less peaceful after this decision? You see, peace is a gift from God.
Yeah.
It comes from God. If you're wondering which direction to go in life, anyone there right now, have you ever been there where you're wondering which direction to go in life? If you're ever unsure about a decision that needs to be made and you're like at a fork in the road, yes or no, you can use the peace of God to help you make right decisions and go in right directions. Now this, I'm going to tell you, this is falling off the log simple. It really is simple. Yet not many people know it because it's not taught much. So let's take one moment and teach this very important point. The decision you're trying to make. Here's a question. Do you feel God's peace in it? When you go to make this decision, is that peace there? When you go to sign on the dotted line, is your peace there? When you accept that job, is your peace there? Do you feel that peace? When you are in a relationship with that person, is God's peace present? If God's peace is in it, then keep going that direction. But if you don't feel God's peace, you need to stop and you need to pray because you need to find God's peace. You see, God's peace is, it passes all understanding, right? Philippians 4 and 7. And God's peace shows up and calms storms. That's what it did in Mark 4, verse 39. So even though you're in a mess of a situation, you can stop and you can pray and God can give you the direction that you're wanting. But here's what's great. Something shows up more than just an answer on what direction to go. Peace shows up. Every time God has ever told you which way to go, peace has shown up. It's absolutely true. When you prayed and you, one of the things that happened most when you repented of your sins and you started going the right direction in life, what showed up? Peace showed up. When you started giving your life in a relationship with another person and y'all were both serving God together, what showed up? Peace showed up. God's peace shows up. Why? Because God's peace is his rubber stamp approval. Learn this. It's his rubber stamp approval. It sends that message that you are not alone. It sends that message that I am with you and I'm going to guide you. It says that there is a way out of your trouble. Yeah, right in the middle of your trouble, peace can show up. And it says, there's a way out of this trouble. Follow me. Has anybody ever experienced that kind of peace? Do you know what I'm talking about? That's what the world is really looking for. That's what they're really looking for. We need that kind of peace in our life. So take that, use that in the next decisions you make. Use that when you're deciding which college to go to, what job to take, what thing to do. God, let your peace show up. Let it guide me. In Ephesians 6, it tells us to put on the full armor of God. You know that about the full armor of God? And Ephesians 6:15 says to have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of love, right? No, peace. Get this. Even though you're walking in the battle, that's what people that put on armor do. Even though you're walking straight towards a battle, you're walking in the peace of God. That's what it means to be a Christian. You can be in a fight for your life, but have peace. I'm telling you that there were people burnt at the stake that experienced more peace in that moment than you're experiencing right now, because God's peace shows up and it's real. It calms storms. It is as real as eating bread. It's real. It's real. It's real. We need that kind of peace. That's my prayer for you today, is that you have that kind of peace. You have that kind of peace. Let me tell you, that is worth more than money in the bank. Because guess what? Governments come and they go. Economies rise and they fall. But God's peace, oh man, that's not so easy to knock over and steal. Every area of your life ought to be marked with the peace of God. Like putting on the armor of God, you are walking in the readiness of the gospel of peace. It's everywhere you go. You ought to walk into some situations that are totally unpeaceful, but you walk in and peace comes in the door. I tell you what, that would be somebody I would give a raise to on my job. They just showed up and brought peace to the room. That's an amazing thing. We all ought to be like that. We ought to not be troublemakers on the job. Our bosses ought to look and say, that person always brings peace to the situation. We got to keep them out of there and keep them here in this place. We understand that we should experience God's peace in our home. We realize that we should experience God's peace in our relationships, on our job, in our faith life. We're all agreeable. If we aren't experiencing peace in those areas, we usually quickly turn to God in prayer. We usually open up our Bible and say, what is going on here? We usually come up to this altar. We start praying. We ask specific prayer. I need peace in this area. But when it comes to our finances, we think it's normal to be stressed about money. I'm telling you like it is. You believe you ought to have peace in all these areas. But no, it is really normal to be worried sick about this. It is really normal to be stressed about this. It's really normal to have arguments in your home about this. It's really normal to always not have enough. It's just the way life is. We don't have the peace in that area. But peace ought to be in every area of our life, even our finances. It's not normal for a Christian to not have peace over their finances. It's not normal for you to go sleepless nights worried about the bottom line. It's not normal to have fear and unrest over money. God has peace for every area of your life, even your finances. So I ask you today, do you have financial peace? I'm not asking you, do you have a plan for your life? No, I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you, do you have enough money in the bank to make all the bills? I'm not asking that. I'm asking, do you have financial peace? Do you have that? Our prayer is that by the end of this series, you will find the peace that comes from following God's financial plan. Really quick, I want to talk to you about our schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about stewardship. Today, we're talking about stewardship. Next week, Mark 29th, we're going to be talking about debt. And then April 5th is the following week. What day is that? Easter. It's Easter. We're going to be celebrating we're celebrating the resurrection. We want you here with us celebrating the resurrection, all right? Yeah. And then April 12th, we're going to return to our series. We're going to talk about building wealth. And then we're going to finish it out April 19th talking about generosity. That's the plan for this series right there. I challenge you right now to make plans to be here every week of this series. Don't miss a week, especially Easter, but do not miss a week. And if you have to miss a week, check it out on the podcast, all right? And if you have questions, you're going to ask us. You're going to write into our text line, but you're going to stay engaged in this area. This is an important area that God wants to speak to all of us, every home, every life, all of us in this church. Today, we're going to be talking about the peace that comes from stewardship. What is stewardship? Stewardship is the management, care, and protection of something or someone. When you think of stewardship, I want you to just simply think of management. Management, to manage something. Financial stewardship is key to walking in financial peace. If you pay attention, you will notice a lot of businesses close every year. I mean, every year they close. You'll drive around and you'll notice it and you'll say, oh, they went out of business. And if you pay attention enough, you'll say that every week. Oh, they went out of business. Oh, that's funny. I wasn't expecting them to go out of business. And then some of them were like, oh, yeah, I knew they didn't have a chance. But the question, real question is this. Why did they go out of business? A large amount of businesses close as a result of financial mismanagement. That's what Dave Ramsey says. Sometimes it's criminal fraud, like Enron back in 2011. Everybody remember Enron? When groups of people conspired to rip off others, and a lot of people were ripped off. It was terrible. But much of the time, businesses go out of business because of mismanagement of finances. It's hard to get specific numbers, but the numbers are high of businesses that tank, that closed shop because of a mismanagement of finances. They weren't good stewards. They weren't good managers of the finances. Dave Ramsey, finance author, asked this question. Can you imagine a $2 million business? Now, already we're like, oh man, I'm trying to imagine a $2 million business because that's a lot of money. Question goes on. Can you imagine a $2 million business succeeding for very long if the bookkeeper never bothered to do a budget? Can you imagine a large business, $2 million? How long are they going to stay afloat if they don't have a bookkeeper keeping a budget and keeping track of where all the money is going, the money coming in and the money going out? Not very long, right? You would agree, right? All right, Dave goes on to ask this question. Imagine you worked as a bookkeeper for a company called You Inc., You Incorporated. You're a bookkeeper working for You Incorporated. If you managed money for You Incorporated the way you manage money for yourself right now, would you be fired? Would you need to be fired as the bookkeeper of You Incorporated? We are called to be stewards. We are called to manage what we have. 1 Peter tells us very bluntly, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've received gift from God. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Whatever you have received from God, it is your job to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Have you received grace of God? You should be managing grace towards other people. Have you received spiritual blessing from God? You ought to be returning spiritual blessing to the body of Christ. Have you received financial blessing? You ought to be returning that, being a good steward of whatever gift you have received, returning it back as a good steward. Amen? Amen. Is that what it says? And you have to learn this about money. More important than how much money you have is how you manage the money you have. Do you agree with that? It's not how we think, but we know it's true. Because our answer for everything is, man, if I just got that raise, if I just had more money, if I just win the lottery, if I could just sell this car, if I could do something, if I could, whatever that thing is, it's always about an increase in money. But the real answer, more important than how much money you have, is how you manage the money you have. What is that? That's stewardship. That's being a manager of what you've been given. And this is key to financial peace. Needing more money will wreck your peace. You'll be going around worried, sick. Oh man, I need more money to make this bill. Instead of that, you should be managing what you have properly so you can pay that bill. And it's possible. It is possible to the end to reach the end of the month and still have money left over. It's possible. And if you don't think that's possible, you need to change your thinking, because all things are possible with God, all right? All things work together for our good. We just sang it, that he works all things. Managing what you have properly, that brings peace and success. Needing something else brings stress. And we want financial peace. The truth is, you do work for You Incorporated. It's absolutely the truth. You do work for You. And you have been put in charge of the bookkeeping. And we need our finances to come under new management. Can I tell you that God has a right to manage your money? I know we're talking about money. Everybody's nervous and like, oh my gosh. God has a right to talk to you about money. And God has a right to tell you you're doing it wrong. In fact, his word talks to us about it. Here's one of the reasons God has a right. Psalm 24 and 1, it says this: the earth is the Lord's. How much of the earth is the Lord's? All of it. The fullness thereof. Is there anything on the earth that doesn't belong to him? No, the absolute fullness of the earth belongs to the Lord. The world and they that dwell therein. The people that dwell in it, who do they belong to? They belong to the Lord. Does he have a right to call some of the shots in your life? He has a right to call all the shots in your life. And Psalms 50 and 10 says this: for every animal of the forest is mine. This is God talking. And the cattle on a thousand hills. Who do they belong to? They belong to God. Verse 11, I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. This is interesting from God, right? If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. God owns everything, and it isn't crazy to let him manage everything. God owns everything, and it's not crazy to hit your knees and say, God, take over. God owns everything. And when you have exhausted your means, you've exhausted your understanding, it is stupid not to turn to the one who owns everything. God owns everything. And you may feel like this. Well, it's my money. I mean, you might not say that in church right now because I mean, I'm preaching this, and so you. But when we're alone, and the way we treat our money, the way we reach into our wallets, into our bank accounts, the way we swipe those cards so quickly, like ninjas swiping those cards, brr, entered that pin so quickly. You may feel like it's my money. I worked hard for this money. This is a result of my hard work. So who are you to tell me that it's God's? Now, I can understand that. I can understand feeling that way, all right? We don't want to downplay your hard work. The Bible says a lot about being a hard worker. You're not supposed to be lazy. You are supposed to be a hard worker. You're supposed to be a good steward, which is a hard worker, being a good manager. But I want you to check out Deuteronomy chapter 18. God is speaking through Moses to the children of Israel. And they have gone from slaves with no future to a mighty nation with a great future on their way to a land of promise. And God tells them through Moses, here it is, Deuteronomy 8:17. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Stop right there. That might be how you think about your money. Right there. Verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Who gives you the ability to produce wealth? It's the Lord. So we can talk all about our hard work, but it is the Lord that gave you the ability to produce wealth. Let me tell you, that did not come from you. Now the hard work came from you, but the ability that you're acting on, it came from God. And we can talk about your hard work all day, but we better not forget who it really comes from. You better not forget who the money really comes from. You better stop acting like it comes from you. You better stop acting like it begins and ends with you, because you are not the Alpha. You are not the Omega. You're not the beginning and the end of anything in your life. God is the beginning and the end of everything. Thank God, absolutely. God teaches us to be good stewards. Lord God, teach us to manage the money and the wealth that comes from you. I want to remind you of some things you already knew about money, but I want to remind them for you, put them like in nice little compartments for you, really solidify it in your head. Here's one. Money is personal. Money is personal. People share everything on social media. They share what they ate. Guilty of it. This last week, I took a picture of what I ate. Right? We do that. We share what we eat. We share where we work. We put that in the headings about us. We even share who we vote for. We even share why the other people that voted the other way are idiots. That's stuff that goes all over the internet. We don't even think twice about it. We rejoice when the Philadelphia Eagles lose every time. I thought I was going to get an amen on that. I didn't. All right. People do not talk about money anywhere. Not on social media. They refuse to talk about it to strangers. They refuse to talk about it out in the open. It is a really weird thing. If you're at work and somebody leans over and says, hey, how much do you make? That is a weird situation. You could get fired for that. No. I'm getting out of here. No, we do not talk about these things. Am I right? Money is personal. It is likely that while I have been talking about money, you began to feel nervous. You began to feel anxious. Why? It's because money is a personal subject. What am I doing talking about it right here in the open? Money is personal, but God speaks to the personal areas of our life. And this is an area we've got to talk about. I want you to be open to what God has to say about money. I know it's personal, but can you trust me that this is going to be from the Word of God, and it's not going to be self-serving towards me, but it's going to be the Word of truth. Do you trust me? Yeah. All right, cool. I'll proceed. Money is personal, but also money is powerful. Money can change your behavior. How powerful is that, to change your behavior? Most of us are trying to change our behavior all the time. The truth is, we either need to hang a candy bar in front of us or a dollar bill, and our behavior is changed really quickly. And the church said amen. One person said amen. Great. All right. People work jobs they don't even like for years because of the promise of a paycheck. They work right beside people that are crabby and they don't like because of the promise of a paycheck. They sell obscene amounts of useless stuff on infomercials with the following phrase. Here is the phrase: but wait, there's more. If you order now, we will double the order. That's twice the useless stuff for the price of one. Call now. Oh my gosh. Have you ever wanted to call those? I've never called one, but I've been at the place of, what am I doing? I'm about to call this. But what did they do? It's like, here's a good deal. It's like you're saving money. You aren't saving money. You're about to buy useless garbage for what? For most people, the power of money is the biggest motivation in their life. Money is powerful. Guess what? By the way, that leads to greed and materialism, and our world is eaten up with it because powerful money. Most divorces happen because of bad finances. That is the power of money. Money is personal. Money is powerful. Money is potential. You can do most anything with money. Money has the potential for good, but money also has the potential for evil. The same dollar bill that can feed the homeless can also feed a drug addiction. We've seen it. Ecclesiastes 10 and 19 says this: a feast is made for laughter, and wine makes life merry, but money is the answer for everything. What is Solomon saying? Well, I believe Solomon's right here. Money answers many of life's problems. Need more time? Use money to hire help to free up your time. Have a problem that you don't have the expertise to answer, like a busted transmission in your car? Hire a mechanic. You can use money to solve problems. In fact, if you view money as a tool, that's a great way to view money. Money holds almost limitless potential. It's important that we use that potential correctly. All right, so money is personal, money is powerful, money is potential. And finally, money is priority. Jesus tells us that money reveals your heart. We like to talk about our heart a lot. In fact, we use it in arguments all the time where we justify the decision we made. Like, we're going the wrong direction, but we say, well, I just feel it in my heart to do this. We use it all the time. Well, Jesus talks about your heart right here. He says your treasure reveals your heart. That your treasure actually occupies the same place as your heart. That's what it says in Matthew 6 and 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can say that your health is a priority, right? In my heart, health is a priority. I tell everyone that. But does your money reveal that to be true? If we looked at your bank statements, would it tell us that you visit a certain fast food establishment every day? So what you said didn't necessarily match up to what you're doing. Your money revealed where your heart really is. You following me? And you can say that being a generous person and helping others is a priority in my life. In fact, if you ask most people on the streets, they would say, yeah, I do believe that's important. Yeah, that's important for my life. All right. Well, does your treasure show that to be where your heart is? How much have you given to charities? How much have you given to other people? How generous have you actually been? Does your treasure and your heart really agree with what you say? God's money management plan for financial peace is all about priority. It starts with priority, and it includes something called the tithe. The tithe is the first 10% of your increase. First 10%. You might be thinking that the idea of giving 10% of your income to God surely won't bring peace to your life. Because I'm actually losing 10% of my finances. I'm actually losing here. I'm not going to have peace. In fact, I'm going to have more stress. If that's you, let me give you two things to consider. Number one, the tithe is about priority. That's what the tithe is about. It is not about the amount you give. And that's usually what we're fixated on. We're fixated on that amount. But it is about the priority. That is why God calls for a percentage, not a flat rate. Let me give you something to think about. God could have asked for a $1,000 flat rate per month. I mean, think about it. Every other business does that. If you have like a monthly thing with them, you have an account set up with your local gym, you pay them so much a month. What if God had something like that set up and he just said, okay, we have this flat rate. Let's make it $1,000. We could make it $100. Let's make it $39 like your local gym does. All right, the flat rate's $39 now, okay? You do that and you're my people and we're all cool and good. All right, now he is God after all, right? And he could make up that decision if he wanted, right? Yeah. Okay. But there are some people in the world who don't make $1,000 a year, much less $1,000 a month. There are people in the world that they don't make $39 in a month. And they would be cut out of this plan that God has if God had a specific amount. If he made it about amount, most of the world would be eliminated from his plan and the blessing that comes with it. That's why the tithe is a percentage priority. And everyone has 10% of something. Whatever you have in your wallet right now, you have 10% of it. Whatever, if you have a penny, and we'll have to get a little knife and cut it, but you have 10% of something, right? That this means the person who gave the tithe of $1 million and the person that gave the tithe of $1, both are covered by God's financial plan. Now, I challenge you to find somewhere in this entire world where someone that throws down $1 million and someone that throws down $1 are covered under the same plan. Obamacare can't do it. Who can do it? No one can do that. Our tax system can't do that. No one can do that. But with God's financial plan, it's not about the amount you have. It is about your heart. It is about your priority. And that is what he's after. He's never been after your money. He's always been after your heart. And your heart and your treasure occupy the same space. Is it okay that God wants your heart today? Will you let him have your heart today? It's not about the money. Is God your priority? Will you trust his management? Do you tithe? Number two, the tithe promises supernatural blessing. And if not brought, it brings curses. All right? Now we just talked to you about, it's not about amount, so anyone can do it. It's about priority. So, number two, the tithe, it brings supernatural blessings, or if not brought, curses. So let's look at this, Malachi 3 and 8. It asks this question, will a man rob God? How can a man rob God? God owns everything. It's impossible to steal a cow from God. You know, he owns all the cows on the hill. Where are you going to take that cow? Like if you boost a car, if you steal a car, you have to take it somewhere that the owner doesn't find it or the police can't find it. You can't steal something from God and hide it in a spot that he can't find it. But right here, it says that you can rob God. How? What is this about? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? Here's the answer, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Again, how are they robbing him? tithes and offerings. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Malachi 3:11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Let me tell you, you could be under a curse. Does it say it? Am I making this up? It's what it says. You could be under a curse for not tithing. Or you could be under a blessing from tithing. Now let me make this very clear. I'm not talking about you're under the curse of sin and death. Because your tithe doesn't free you from the curse of sin and death. The blood of Jesus frees you from the curse of sin and death. I'm not saying that tithing is a salvational thing. But I'm telling you that there is a spiritual blessing or a spiritual cursing that comes from this issue. So if this sounds important, do you want me to go on? Is this okay? All right. Verse 9 mentions the curse comes from robbing God. Again, robbing God is tithe and offering. Verse 10, God tells you to test me in this. Look at that. That is a crazy thing for God to say, but he says it. He says, test me in this. Try me. That if you bring the tithe, he will bring supernatural blessing that you don't have enough room for. That's what it says. He will open up windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you don't have enough room, enough for the blessing he will bring. So you could rob God, and with that comes curses. You could not rob God, and with that comes blessings. You got some decisions to make in life, right? Verse 11, he promises to rebuke the things in your life that are eating up your harvest. I want you to get this. Not many people see this part of the scripture. That now, there are these things. They lived in a time when they actually had a physical harvest out there. And there were bugs out there. There were things. There were people that would come and steal from them. And God said, I will rebuke those things. Those things aren't going to steal from your harvest. Now, you don't have a harvest out there that's like a natural crop of corn. But you have a harvest out there. It's your weekly paycheck. You have a harvest out there. It's your relationships. I want to tell you real quick that this harvest, it can be physical. That this harvest could be spiritual. It could be emotional or even financial. But when you aren't robbing God and you're obeying God and you're under his financial plan of peace, he steps out and the things that want to come steal from you, he rebukes. He shuts them down. And there are these little things, there's these little pests that come and they will eat at the root of the plants in this field and they'll kill them. They'll just tear them apart. And you've reached the end of a 2-week period where you've run out of money and you're like, what happened? There were all these little charges that came out of nowhere. There were these little expenditures that came out of nowhere. This little problem happened on the car here and this little problem happened and we had to go to the hospital and this little thing. And you look at it and there's like all these things. That's what God wants to rebuke. He will rebuke them, but you have to follow him. Do you want to be fruitful? Are there areas of your life where you aren't fruitful? Is it possible that you're under a curse and not the blessing? Verse 12, everybody is going to look at you and say, you are blessed. And that's ultimately, man, how great of a testimony is that? Don't you want everybody to look at your life and say, that's a person that God has blessed. They are blessed. It's not about how smart you are. It's about how blessed you are of God. Isn't that a great testimony? How did this happen in their life? What is your secret? I trusted God's financial plan. I trusted him and I put him as a priority and I've never regretted it. Is there anybody in the house that would say, I never have regretted trusting in the Lord? I've never regretted any area of my life trusting him. The same works with our finances. Yes, it does. Now, that is all I'm going to say about tithing. I know it was over 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm very sorry. That's all I'm going to say about it. All right, so everyone breathe. Whew, all right. If you have any questions, you can text our anonymous line. That's 214-856-0550. It's anonymous. You can ask us anything. You can disagree with me. All of that's cool, all right? We'll talk to you gladly, all right? We'd rather talk to you than for you to go out of here mad at us, all right? What we are talking about is stewardship. Correctly managing what you already have. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, start to focus on what you do have and how to properly manage it. To place yourself under God's financial plan, to walk in the peace that comes from God. God's financial plan is to be happy with less. The world's financial plan is to not be happy until you have more. God's financial plan is based on peace. The world's financial plan is based on stress. Somebody say amen if that's right. Amen. I want to challenge you to start living on less. And if y'all gave that lukewarm of an amen on that, you're really going to love this, all right? I'm going to challenge you today to live on less. If you are operating at or near 100% of your finances, how successful are you going to be in life? Not very. You're going to fall into debt the next time an emergency comes. The next time your car breaks down. Because you're operating at 100%, what are you going to do? Well, credit card time. All right? And then when the bills come, you're not going to be able to pay off that debt quickly because you're already operating at 100%. And you're going to have to start looking at the world's financial plan because we got to have more. We got to have more. We're not able to pay this. So I'm challenging you today to start living on less. You're never going to be able to save for the future. More and more Americans are entering retirement with nothing. It is incredibly scary for them. The problem is because they've been living at capacity for all this time. They never saved. This is not God's plan for you. I am so certain of this. This is not God's plan for you. I challenge you to start living on less. Here's the plan I want to present to you today. And you can tweak this, you can do something with it, but I challenge you to make changes in your life. I challenge you to start living on 70% of your finances. We have a reason for that number, but this, if you step back and stop living on 100% or even more than 100% total debt, but step back and you start living on 70%. It's going to allow you to give God what he asks for in giving. All right? That's, you could give 10% to God. 70 plus 10% is? Good job, mathematicians. It's good. All right. Also, that 70% will bring margin between you and your debt. So that's good. When those emergency comes, you don't have to fall into debt. You have space in between you and the emergency. And this will allow you to pay off debt quickly and to save for a future. In fact, right, you could tweak all these numbers. But if you are in debt, you've got to start getting out of debt. You need to have at least 10% of your finances getting you out of debt, if not more. If you want to get out of debt, we're going to be talking about that next week, but maybe you take 20% of everything you make and you put it against that debt. You can be out of debt quicker than you think. It is not hopeless, but you got to change some things in your life. What will this change? Here's what it'll change. It'll bring peace to your life. Let me tell you, you've been strapped. You've been all the way to 100% and it hasn't brought you peace. Did it bring you happiness? Did that large thing you put on a credit card bill, did it really make you happy? Or did it actually cause you to stay awake at night? That new car you had to have, is it really worth all of this? All right? So you've got to start living on less. Now, this is probably going to mean you're going to have to cut some things. But really what it means is you're going to reprioritize your finances. And that's all we're going to say about that today. Sarah, would you come? I'm going to be closing very quickly today. Jesus gives the parable of the talents. It's also known as the parable of the shrewd manager or steward. And this is found in Luke 16. It's also found in Matthew 25. In this parable, the master, and Bible scholars, who does the master represent in this story? It represents God. God, the master, gives his wealth to three servants. Who does the wealth come from? It comes from God. Then the master goes away, but he expects them to manage what he has given to them. That's the expectation. When the master returns, two of the three are good stewards with the wealth the master gave. And here is the master's response to two of the three servants. Matthew 25, 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." All right, so the two servants, they didn't receive a whole bunch. They received a little. But the little they had, they managed correctly. And when the master came back, he said, "You have managed what I have given you very well. Good and faithful servant. Now I'm going to give you more." The way to more is to trust God with what you have. The way to get more is not to be smarter. The way to get more is not to wow your next boss. I mean, those are great things. Go knock yourself out to do those things. But more really comes from the master. Because the wealth you have right now came from where? The master. Your next paycheck, where's it going to come from? It's going to come from the master. The money that you're worried so sick about right now, I'm telling you, it's coming to you. But where's it going to come from? It comes from the master. That's where it comes from. But the third servant, he took the wealth and he mismanaged it. He buried it in the ground and then he digs it back up and gives it back to the master. And the master is furious. The master is angry with this servant. The master lets him know that he was not a good steward. Here's what he says in Matthew 25, 26. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." This is hardcore. I'm not preaching this to make you feel bad today. I'm preaching this to underline the importance of this. He calls this guy wicked. What did the guy make and sell drugs? Was he a huge drug addict? Did this guy kill a guy? What did this guy do? Whatever you think wicked is in your head, it's not this. But to God, it is wicked to take the things he's given us, Leon, and just throw them away. To just bury them. To not manage them. God calls that wicked. Now, we're so thankful that we believe in a God that we can repent. And that we can ask him to forgive us and we can turn around from that. You don't have to be... There's been times in my life where I've mismanaged my money so bad. I've been a wicked, lazy servant. But I can turn to God. I can turn that around. And I have turned that around to him. So thankful for God's mercy and grace to do that. He does not give that servant more. He actually takes from that servant what he had been given. You are responsible for what God has given you to manage. Have you been managing what God has given you? And I think we could all do that better. If you're out of debt, you can still do it better. If you've got a financial plan and you're in the middle of it, you can still do it better. It ought to really be on our hearts to manage what God has given us to the fullest capacity. I challenge you to live under new management today. I challenge you to look at the dollar bill in your wallet differently than you ever have. To live under new management. Live like everything belongs to God. Your home. Stop wanting a bigger home. be happy with the home you have. Stop this insatiable desire for the latest and greatest of the world. It's only new for 5 seconds. Then it totally depreciates. The moment you drive that car off the lot, it depreciates by 30%. Buying a new car is one of the worst investments you could ever make, literally. Stop trying to always get more. Instead, be happy with less and honor God with everything that you have. These altars are open right now. If you want prayer over your finances, why don't you come to the front? If you want any kind of prayer in your life, why don't you come to the front? Some of you need miracles in your finances. Why don't you come receive prayer? There is no
shame.
Thank
you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.